This is Hitchhiking Off the Map.
I actually got tired of going to Disneyland.
I was fairly normal until I started my midlife crisis at age 24.
My mother had been born in Birmingham, and my grandfather had said when he met my father, "Who are y'all people?"
Landing in England and feeling the cold.
Every day, I wandered through a different part of the city.
Look in the western sky tonight after dark and see if you can see a man walking.
And I remember getting myself lost in Rome, figuring if I walk long enough, I'll get my bearings again.
I thought I had something more to say, but I don't.
Hello again. This is Hitchhiking Off the Map, and this is our studio in Sebastopol, California, and this is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller. We're listening to stories about journeys. Where did you go where you didn't come back quite the same?
Or don't plan to come back. Some are true-to-life stories, and some we have to make into fiction so that they'll be believable.
Today's theme is walking. So first, we have a very short story about a short distance just across the street, and then a long one about a much longer distance. This is Stoplight.
Okay, now, before we cross, here, look, okay, can you read that?
What?
Great. Now, wait a second. Now, wait till it changes, and then you can try that. You ready? Now. Okay.
Don't walk.
That's great. Wow, you're a reader. That's terrific. And, okay, now, when it says that, then you don't walk. And it says walk, and you walk, and don't walk, and then you stay here, and you let the cars go. Okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Now, let's cross. Now, hold on to my hand.
Daddy.
Huh?
It says don't walk.
Well, right. Yeah, fine. That's true. But, I mean, right now, we're in a hurry now. It's okay if you're with Daddy, you hold on to my hand. I mean, it's not something you ought to do, but, well, okay, there aren't any cars coming, and you shouldn't orderly cross. I mean, although people do, and we're not supposed to, and they call that jaywalking. But now, I'm not saying you ought to do that, but right now, we need to be out somewhere, or we're going to be late, and we want to tell Mommy how well you're learning how to read. Okay, cross now. Pay attention to what I tell you. No, stay. No, stay. Okay, go. No, stop. Wait, hurry. Go. Don't just stand there. Do what I tell you. Obey the law.
Obey the law.
I read okay, but I don't understand the words.
That was Stoplight from our 1994 series, Family Snapshots. And the actors were Neil Hartley as the dad.
Oh, what a positive role model for our times.
And Molly Zonaroff, who'd be about 15 right now.
And this is Hitchhiking Off the Map. We'd like to hear from you. If you have a story about a journey, even if it was just across the street, visit our website and send us an email and tell us about it. We're at www.independenteye.org.
You could tell us the inspirational story of how you just kind of grabbed your own bootstraps and pulled yourself out of the wreckage, if
but
that's what you want.
But it doesn't have to be inspirational.
No, our grant is not dependent on inspiration.
Thinking about that first piece, trips with kids, I was thinking about how the people you're with on a trip change your perspective radically, especially kids.
I remember our kids were all over everywhere with us.
Our only trip to Greece. Our kids were small then, and we went to the amphitheater at Epidaurus, which was very thrilling to me because I was a PhD in dramatic literature and theater history in a previous lifetime. And so I was giving a very fatherly but informative lecture to the kids on the importance and the significance of this circular structure in Western dramatic history.
On a hillside in the sun.
And they were watching a grasshopper.
Well, it was worth watching. It was a big guy.
It was
about 3 inches
guy,
long, and it stayed around us for a long time.
And it suddenly occurred to me that, well, they were probably doing exactly the same thing as the kids were doing 2,500 years ago, watching the beginning of Western dramatic experience.
And that teaches you what to do as an actor. You have to be more interesting than the grasshopper. Okay, today our dance card is a bit different, I confess. We're taking most of the time today, we're just listening to one story and one person. And that's partly because Abner is a memorable guy, and it's partly because, well, part of his being memorable is he just plain moves at a different pace. And to get it, we have to slow down.
You can't always get there fast.
set up. It's recording right now. I can't really hear it because I can't get the headphones up to one ear.
I had met Abner at a radio conference in Chicago, and he sent some CDs, and I thought, yeah, these would fit the show. But I wanted to interview him as well. I wasn't going to be in Prescott, Arizona anytime soon, so we did it by phone.
Well, I never was very good at party chat. Geez.
So I asked him, where do we start?
Let's see. I was raised in Massachusetts. I was fairly normal until I started my midlife crisis at age 24. That was about 1986 when I decided to walk from Massachusetts to Florida. And at the same time, I started reading Thoreau's Walden. And I never did get all the way to Florida. And so far, I've still never finished reading Walden. I mean, he's got that chapter at the end called Conclusions. Well, I read the rest of the book. I have my own conclusions.
What it is that Abner walks.
It was kind of a gradual thing that I just, the more I walked, the more I walked. The more I saw what was going on with motorized vehicles and so forth, and kind of came to the conclusion that it was pretty bad by the side of the road, but getting in a car and driving someplace wasn't going to make it any better.
In 1988, he decided to move to California, but he didn't like San Diego, heard about a college in Prescott, Arizona.
And I got out my hiking boots and I walked across the desert and got to Prescott in December and kind of fell in love. I work at the Prescott College Library, which is a place that I have quit 3 times and been hired back 4. So I think there's a message in there somewhere. I don't have a car. I have in the past owned cars, the distant past. Prescott is a fairly walkable city. There's a mindset, the pedestrian state of mind, in which you don't think about going places that are outside of your reach. But when I need to go someplace, I think how far it is and how much time I need to allot to get there. I am still amazed that the majority of people don't really know what 6 miles is. They tend to think of it as 6 minutes. And it's not!
Knowing what 6 miles is, in 1995 he walked cross-country. 4 years later, he walked cross-country again, but this time just to get to a starting point.
The idea for it? I had a friend who had told me she always wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail, and she got into a really bad car accident. And the doctors kept on telling her that she might never walk again, and I kept on thinking about her dream of always wanting to hike the trail, and so I told her that I would do it with her, and she kind of used that as motivation to get to where she could walk again, and I used it as motivation to get me to the trail. Lest you get the wrong impression of me, I'd like to point out that I didn't stick around to help her get well. I don't know how to be that kind of person. And this ain't that kind of story. This is a story about a fanatic reactionary pedestrian who despises motorized vehicles, who thinks any distance is walking distance as long as they let him across the bridge, who promises to walk 2,000 miles from Georgia to Maine and then walks 3,000 miles just getting to Georgia.
And that's Abner's radio show. Oh, did I say? He made it into a radio show.
I could not finance a trip that was going to take almost a year, and that's where the radio thing came. I've always also been wanting to break into the radio field. I had a friend of mine who's a very good fundraiser trying to put something together, and it just wasn't happening fast enough, so I thought that I would hit the road and hope that when people saw that I was out there already doing it, that might be more of an incentive to donate. And it didn't really work out that way. I mean, it's always get your ducks in a row before you leave.
We'll travel through Texas and then hug the southeastern Gulf Coast. and then north to Atlanta, and north of Atlanta we'll catch the Appalachian Trail and follow that up to the end at Mount Katahdin. However, I promise you there will be complications. But I do have a sense of humor. I hope you do, too. We're going to be living out here on the road for the next year. We might as well have some fun.
There's always a thrill starting out. Like, it's your first day out, and you just, you love it, and you never want to stop, and you're already thinking about your next trip. You start out with bouncy steps, and that might last a week or so, and then you get into the rhythm, and after about 8 weeks or so, it really starts to wear on you, and you start to run into kind of a molasses wall that you have to, the only way out is through, so you keep going. We left Prescott, Arizona without a whole lot of fanfare on the 21st of October. We walked into Tucson on Election Day, but the day before that, we passed through the small town of Mammoth, Arizona.
Clean white pickup truck pulled over on the other side of the road. A guy got out. Sweet-smelling guy in a clean white 10-gallon hat called me over, said, "Hey, want to make $5?" I said, "How's that?" He said, "We campaigning for the governor's office. We want to hang a sign off your pack." I said, "I think I'll pass." He said, "Probably just as well. Somebody'd probably shoot you."
That's another question people sometimes ask. They say, "Did you meet any interesting people out there?" I'm sorry, folks. This ain't a Peter Jenkins feel-good walk across the continent and meet all kinds of interesting people kind of story. It's a story about a hermit who picks up and walks 5,000 miles from here to there, singing and cussing and talking to himself and dealing with people along the way as best his limited social skills will allow.
The "we" in his story was intended to include the listeners he was taking along, except that he didn't have any listeners. He recorded about 90 minutes a week on his 8-pound cassette recorder and sent the tapes back to his friend, not yet knowing who might air them.
"You know, the hardest part of this job is I gotta be interesting for 26 minutes every week. That ain't easy for a guy like me. And you say, 'Well, just go somewhere and then tell us about it.' All right. Here's a picture of me resting in the desert. I got my shoes off, but I left my socks on because it's cold out. Is any of that interesting?"
"Not yet. What are you doing while you're sitting there?"
"I'm eating."
"What are you eating?"
"Peanut butter and jelly."
"Not interesting. What do you see?"
"Cactus and creosote. Some ocotillo off to the right. Ocotillo looks like a spiny tentacled squid whose head is stuck in the ground with only the tentacles, 15 or 20 of them, waving in the breeze. Is that interesting?"
"It's descriptive. How do you feel?"
"Irritated."
"How come?"
"Because it's Christmas Eve. I'm sitting here in the desert eating peanut butter and jelly. That's 1 minute down, 25 to go."
Sometimes it was just description.
"Downtown, the main street is paved in the middle, cobbled on the edges and dusty all over. There's a concrete sidewalk. Some cowboy didn't quite wait till it was dry. The concrete is imprinted with horses' hooves. There's a guy without any teeth grinning at you, saying something you don't think you'd understand even if he had his teeth. There's a guy standing in your way, drunk by noon, it looks like. He offers you some booze from a bottle tucked into his pants. You decline and edge on by, letting him holler names at your back. A whistle blows, the air vibrates, and the ground rumbles as a freight train rolls by across the street. The wind catches up a devil of dust and pushes it into your face, and you grab your hat and lower your shoulder and hurry on."
And sometimes he sang.
"Freight train down in the valley, coal train, looks like.
I remember when I started walking down the track. I was only 17 and never looking back. If you want to see the city or the countryside, gotta run and catch a ladder, take a freight train ride, singing whoo.
He got as far as Houston and ran out of money, crashed at a friend's house for 2 weeks. Friends back in Prescott passed the hat and kept him going for another month. And then a radio reading service got interested, sent a money order every couple of weeks, and he managed on that.
Have I mentioned this is a very long trip?
Monday morning, the 15th of February. Walking on little tiny seashells on the beach in Louisiana. It's kind of sad that people don't walk on the beach anymore. Watching all the Valentine's couples driving back and forth along the beach, driving back and forth in their four-wheel drive vehicles. Kinda made me feel like I'd lost somehow. What's the point? The Huey P. Long Bridge over the Mississippi River. Looks like there's about a half-width sidewalk. There is a rail about waist high. It's going to be kind of sketchy. It's a narrowish bridge. We got about a third of the way across, and a state police officer hit his lights and stopped and got out of the car and started yelling at us. He didn't have very good people skills. So I started yelling back at him. I don't have very good people skills either. Anyway, we found out there is no bridge anywhere in the state of Louisiana that you can walk across the Mississippi River. It is prohibited. I said it before, I'll say it again. It is becoming illegal to get across this country on foot. Anyway, we're waiting on a bus to get across the river. I don't have the energy to get across any other way right now.
And at last he arrived at Springer Mountain, Georgia, the lower terminus of the Appalachian Trail.
Wow. We're here.
I remember pick and shovel for the big smokestack.
By the way, Erin didn't meet us on Springer Mountain. But by then she was walking again, though not very far nor very fast. Nowadays she doesn't even limp. I don't know if the dream is still there. Sometimes you can spoil a good dream by chasing after it. On the other hand, Erin's still young and healthy, and there's a saying amongst Appalachian trail hikers, Maine ain't going nowhere.
And he started the 2,000 miles up the trail.
A friend of mine who's been listening to these postcards told me she noticed I wasn't as poetic at this part of the journey as I was in the beginning. The thing is, it was a very long trip. The daily grind just wears you down. And before you know it, you're not walking anymore. You're trudging.
All right. The Blueberry Jump Rope Song. A New American Standard by Abner Surd. Nobody laugh.
Blueberry blossoms on a blueberry tree. 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Pick them by the bushel or you pick them by the cup. Blueberry, ah, crud.
Let me try that again.
I remember down south somewhere, I ordered a cheeseburger. The girl behind the counter said, "You want it dressed?" "No, Just put a bathrobe on it. We ain't expecting company.
Blueberry blossoms on a blueberry tree.
Wednesday, the 9th of June. It's freaking hot out. It's so hot you can hear it. Listen. It's so hot the trees aren't talking anymore. It's so hot the earth that used to be solid under your feet now just kind of squishes like it's melting. Like a giant candy bar, you gotta wade through.
Pick 'em by the bushel, Lord. Pick 'em by the cup.
You know, I called the home office last week, talked to Bill. He said, you know, a lot of the folks I talk to think you're some kind of a fool. Well, let me tell you something about fools. Most of us are just trying to find our way through a world we don't really understand. Incidentally, the Appalachian Trail was dreamed up by a fool, although they call him a visionary these days.
Blueberry pancakes coming right up.
Well, I'll tell you, some days you just don't want to do this anymore. It rained a bit in the evening last night. This morning, we woke up and the slugs were crawling all over us. We flicked them off our sleeping bag. They were crawling inside our sleeping bag. Ran my fingers through my hair this morning and felt a lump. Pulled out a slug. I think it's time to get a haircut.
Blueberry blossoms on a blueberry tree.
The fog from this morning has turned into a fine mist and is blowing across the mountains. Makes it look like the mountains are on fire. You can look up overhead and just overhead within reaching distance, you can see this fine mist blowing over. Looks like ghosts scouring the land.
6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Pick 'em by the
bushel. This is the end of our mac and cheese. Two bites more, and it's gone. Thank God. I think it's safe to say that when this is gone, I am never eating macaroni and cheese again. Ugh.
And with the end of the macaroni and cheese came the end of the journey.
Well, that must be the summit over there. 100 feet in front of us, half a dozen people sitting around by the sign. Well, this is it. The official sign at the top of Katahdin, the one that everybody takes their picture with. It reads, Katahdin, Baxter Peak, elevation 5,267 feet. Northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail, a mountain footpath extending over 2,000 miles to Springer Mountain, Georgia. This is it, folks. This is the end of the line. Hope you can find your way home.
So the natural question, what did you discover? Was it a growth experience?
I guess the first time that I walked across the country, I did it because I had something to prove to myself. And the second time, I kind of had something to prove to other people. And I don't really think about it anymore because I don't feel like I have anything to prove anymore. I've done what I said I was going to do. And that's it.
So I was about to wrap up the conversation with this dedicated fanatic when Abner made a terrible confession.
All right, I'll confess all. I got up to the top of Katahdin, and that night I walked into Millinocket, which is the closest town. It's a little more than 20 miles away, I suppose. And what I was thinking, am I going to be true to my ideals and walk into Bangor, or am I going to
start my new life and take the bus in. And I opted for the bus, finally.
To a purist, that might kind of blow the whole thing.
It does. I mean, being a fanatic reactionary pedestrian for 45 weeks, 5,000 miles, and then at the end giving it up and taking the bus. Well, I'm not nearly as fanatic as I used to be. In fact, I'm going to a wedding this evening, and a friend of mine is going to come and pick me up in her car and take me there. The truth is, fanatic reactionaries don't have as much interaction with real human beings as they could. Like Ed Abbey says, you kind of have to be a half-hearted fanatic. Otherwise, you'll just never get along with people. And I don't throw rocks anymore.
In Prescott, Arizona, we were talking by phone to Abner Surd.
You heard excerpts from his 2-CD set, and Abner has a website where you can listen to more adventures. It's at www.rawbrick.com. And this is Hitchhiking Off the Map, a production of The Independent Eye. To listen to past shows anytime, or to contribute stories, visit our website at www.independenteye.org.
Hitchhiking is supported by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts and by the Hitchhikers Guild. So next show, our trip is back through some of the voices and stories of the past 4 months or so, looking at the Snapshot album.
And this disclaimer, Hitchhiking Off the Map is not affiliated in any way with the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. One planet is all we can handle right now. So long.
Can you see the stars where you are? Look in the western sky tonight after dark and see if you can see a man walking.